lesson that day. A very simple lesson that I never forgot and have always practiced since. Might makes right.
And I dropped off those Might is Right books when you were in Chicago. How'd you like those?
Excellent, man. I've got, that's like my 10th copy, but, you know, it's something to have on the road and to read, you know. Law of the Claw, baby.
Yeah, right on. So you're into Ragnar's philosophy.
Ragnar Redbeard, I believe, I guess I would have to be way, way more in depth in reading his beliefs and whatnot. But what I have read, his views on mental strength and stuff like that comes as common sense to me pretty much. And I agree with him, 100% on those particular views. But as far as other views, I would have to delve into him a little harder.
Yeah, right. He's all over the place sometimes.
What's happening? This is Philip H. Anselmo from Super Joint Ritual, and you're listening to Three Ring Radio.
I'm Mr. Dover, Mr. Benjamin Dover. Who the fuck are you? You had to tell him how you loved Jesus. And naturally, now I love Jesus very much. I love him so much, I'd like to crucify him all over again.
sick of his filthy death. The blood is not to hurt me more. When I think you are alive. You little whore, you're all the same. That's what you're for. Kill everyone up.
Let's talk porno.
What's that?
Porno.
My porno?
Yeah, let's talk a little porno here for a second. Matt, that's your springboard. Am I right?
Yes, you're right.
So that's your springboard into this some would say maybe the other stuff you do is the, you know, crossover porno.
The whole thing that I did with the porn, I mean, it definitely had its moments, and it definitely was something that I was originally introduced to the public from, but I mean, it's not something that I continually really do anymore for that, just for the lack of time, I suppose. I mean, I really haven't directed in the last couple of years, to tell you the truth. I mean, I've been more interested in, my latest projects, which has, been... You know, my spoken word record and my band and primarily my band and in the new record that my band put out this last year and trying to combine the suspension acts with music. So, it's not completely out of my bag of tricks. I might go back to it and do something involved with it again sometime in the future if time permits. But it's I don't really have any new porno stories. But I can tell you that there will be a lot of porno stars at the event.
Isn't there an actual, don't you actually have a Society One porno?
We actually, the first time the band was actually ever even introduced into, I guess you could say mainstream public, was through a porno. I used to throw these parties called House of Flesh, which were enormous orgies, and they were like modern depictions of Roman times, I guess, of all the things that we would do. And the first time the band ever... was introduced to the public was through House of Flesh 2, which was a movie that came out, I think, in 97 or 96. From there, we were in the Backstage Slut series with a lot of other bands like Korn and Orgy and Limp Bizkit and Sugar Ray, whoever was hot at the time. And a progression from that was during part of the touring in the early part career of this band, during the Slacker Jesus record era, we actually made a road movie, but instead of cutting the cameras when I got back to the hotel, we just kept them rolling. So it was actually a hardcore XXX porno. Rather entertaining if you ever have a chance to see it.
Yeah, well, I did see some of it, You sent me that. That was cool. I like the Backstage Slut series for sure. Do you watch... What do you think of... honestly, do you watch porno? And what do you think of folks that watch porno?
What do I think of people that watch porno?
Yeah, I mean, without I've talked to folks that produce pornos, are in pornos, and they don't have a lot of respect for people who buy pornos behind the scenes. I mean, when they're selling videos, they love them; it's the greatest, But a lot of times, what do you think of that stuff?
Well, I mean, as far as me watching pornography, I mean, I don't really do it that much, and it's not because I think that it doesn't do its purpose, and I think there's a lot of other great adult filmmakers that make great products, to tell you the truth. It's just that, I was in it for so many years, and I made so many of them, that it doesn't have the same type of illusion that a lot of people can believe. If they've never made the films before, and I tend to critique it from a director's point of view rather than a consumer. Hopefully that will get less and less as the years go on and I don't direct. As far as people that watch pornography, I think that it's a there's nothing wrong with it. I think that a lot of people do it these days more so than ever, and I think that it's a rather healthy way to express certain sexual predilections that you might not necessarily have a chance to reenact or experience.
W here. Kids, before 1974, I was one too. Now, I'm reforming education. How? Well, by putting reform and schools together in what I call reform schools. And forget detention. We've got detention centers. Lots of them, folks. So come on down to Texas. We've got your future locked up.
Three Ring Radio. ThreeRingRadio.com. That's where you're at. This week, Matt Zane. I interviewed Matt Zane, and we talked about a lot of stuff. His career in porn. His famous or infamous father, Chuck Zane. We talk about him and his relationship with his parents and porno and his new band. Or his newest offering through his band Society One. That's Matt Zane's band, metal, industrial type band. Raven from Killing Joke was in the band. I know Raven. Raven used to correspond with me and buy comic books from me like 20 years ago. So it's cool to see him end up in Matt Zane's band for a while. But, yeah, Society One's Matt Zane's new band. Let's turn down the Life of Agony a little bit. Yeah, so Society One, and they're on Earache Records, so you can go to earache.com and check them out. Matt also did porno. He did Backstage Sluts with Korn and some other famous metal bands in a porno. I believe he has the last clips of El Duce in the end of the last Backstage Sluts. And Matt also does spoken word. I got to work with Matt on his first non-porno. It's just a crazy video. Something about artistic lifestyles, okay? It's a long name. And I ain't reading it. But it was a decent video. Matt talks about it here. But, yeah, he gave that to me to publish and produce and put out there on the streets, and that was a cool project. And other than that, remember, check out threeringradio.com. Click on my eBay link. I sell really cool stuff. I'm going to list some Matt Zane press kits and some videos and stuff. You should go check it out. threeringradio.com. evilnow.com is another website. I make t-shirts. And you're always welcome to buy a t-shirt from me. You know, I'm making panties too right now. What else is going on? Oh, well, I did a cool Panzeram show. And that's going to be on next week. It's all about Carl Panzeram. One of my favorite serial killers in this movie, Killer, A Journal of Murder. So that's next week on Three Ring Radio. And all my shows are up for sale at threeringradio.com. So if you missed King Diamond, you can go and buy that show from me on threeringradio.com. You can buy the Penn Jillette pen from Penn and Teller interview. You can buy any of my interviews. They're all available at threeringradio.com now. So I'm selling. So if you only hear half of the show, say this fades out right now, you can feel, you can go to sleep tonight knowing that tomorrow morning you can wake up and buy this show on 3ringradio.com. And if you buy two shows, I give you the third show for free. Okay? If you buy four shows, I give you two shows for free and a t-shirt. Is that crazy? Yes. I've gone insane. And that's all available at 3ringradio.com. Matt Zane coming up.
Raven, the Raven that's on your album, who is this?
Oh, Paul Raven from Killing Joke. He played bass on the record. He was actually in the band for a short amount of time. He did about a half a dozen shows. But, I mean, the guy is a living legend. I mean, everything that he's done. I mean, Prong, Killing Joke. He was in a really big Japanese band for a while. I mean, he got asked to do the Godflesh tour in Europe at the time. So he went and did the Godflesh tour, and then Killing Joke did that reunion and put out that new record. So, I mean, he did the bass on the record, and he did a half a dozen shows, and it was great working with him. It was great playing with him.
Yeah, he's cool, man. He is a living legend, that's for sure. So, now, for those who don't know, you've got quite a drive, Matt. And it seems, you know, like you did a video, a non-porno video. Quite a drive, Matt. And it seems, you know, like you did a video, a non-porno video.
Yeah.
You did the spoken, how many spoken word CDs have you put out?
I got one spoken word CD out. My first poem book is coming out in conjunction with a new record that comes out in fall.
And where do you get your drive from, Matt? Because to me, I guess the illusion that you make is that you're rich. You come from a porno family. Am I right? Chuck Zane is your dad.
Yes.
So you seem pretty wealthy. And so what would make you why keep doing this stuff if you don't have to?
Well, I think that, the majority of my drive just comes from a necessity to want to express myself, you know, within a society that I feel is just in general rather repressive and conformist. And I've always felt as a small child, for whatever reason, as being an oppositional force within whatever environment that was placed. And my need to express myself in whatever forms they may be is somewhat of a therapy and gives me the ability to be able to cope within a society that is seems to constantly want to silence or repress me in any inclinations that I might have. So I think it's more of a survival aspect than anything else. It's more of a things that have to do with survival. I mean, without being able to put forth my offerings through artistic mediums such as poetry, music, performance, suspension, whatever it may be, pornography, I don't think that I could live within such a repressive society. So I think it's out of necessity. It's almost as if I don't have a choice to a certain extent. I mean, obviously I do because I believe in free will, but nevertheless, this is how I choose to go about and live within my surroundings and within the social order.
Our aim is back.
So do you get along with your parents?
Well, I originally never knew my father growing up, and he was always out and about doing things, and we later went into business together. He actually got me to meet some people and that taught me how to direct movies in the adult film world. But later, we had many disagreements, and we actually haven't talked in the last couple of years due to business differences and some things that happened that kind of left us estranged. My mother, on the other hand, is rather horrified of the things that I do and the way that I choose to express myself. So our relationship, to say the least, is somewhat strained, and we don't necessarily talk all that often. But besides that, I haven't talked to any members of my family in probably 7, 8, 9 years.
Wow. So you're not, and you know, don't take offense to this, but you're not like a trust fund kid, a pornographer's trust fund kid.
Well, I mean, if it means anything, I mean, when I originally went into business with my father, he was actually in Chapter 11 bankruptcy. So we actually started together at the bottom of the barrel, and we had to work together as a team, him being the distributor, producer, me being the director, bringing about the new ideas within the world of adult industry to work back, to bring the company back to where it was previous to me joining it, because we actually didn't really have any money when I first started working for my father. I was still living in a, you know, in the ghetto in Reseda with 5 or 6 people. I was only making $250 a week. You know, it wasn't until I thought of the concepts of backstage sluts and rock and porn, and they started selling more and working, you know, a lot, that the company actually started making money. We pulled ourselves out of Chapter 11. You know, it was a mutual effort on both of our parts. So,
right on.
In actuality, you know, a lot of people aren't aware of the fact that, the pornography and the money, the company, it was a month away from being a Chapter 7 bankrupt. It really, there wasn't that much to work with. It was a lot of work. It was a lot of hard work. So I didn't have a lot of money. I didn't come from a lot of money immediately. Even previous to that, I didn't my divorced. And
what was that? I didn't hear that part.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
You'd said previous to that.
Oh, yeah, previous to that, growing up, my father didn't live with us. My parents were divorced, and I didn't necessarily really have a very, I don't know, spoiled childhood. I mean, I knew many kids that lived far better than I did as far as you know, things that they had, only because at the time when my parents were divorced, my dad didn't have a lot of money, and my mother used to spend a lot of the money. And when they got divorced, she continued to spend like that for about the first year and realized that it wasn't going to work anymore. So the majority of my childhood, from what I remember, was my mother paying off credit card debts and going to school and working a full-time job while trying to raise 2 kids. And, you know, this, I have vivid memories of, you know, when our dryer broke, and we didn't get one for another year and a half because we couldn't afford one. You know, and you know, my father did have money at the time, but it never really seemed to come around and furnish things. Sometimes just basic things that we might have needed, like a washing machine. So, you know, it's a common misconception a lot of the times that I came from an extremely rich, well-to-do family. I mean, it wasn't really as stereotypical as everybody might believe.
Yeah, sure. It does see, you know, it seems that way plenty. You know. And that's nice that you've explained that, or that's good. You used to have the original drummer of White Zombie in your band, right?
The original drummer from White Zombie was with the band for a while, but he was a Buddhist. and I don't necessarily agree with the practices of Buddhism, although I do believe that everybody has the right to, you know, believe and practice any type of religious form or philosophies that they might find a certain affinity for. But nevertheless, he found that the way that I approached my live shows and my lyrical content in the way that I created it, the life that I like to lead, to be somewhat of a negative and...
Definitely a conflict of interest.
Yeah, a definite conflict of interest. And he started making suggestions concerning the way that I express myself. And I didn't really and I didn't really think that was really acceptable.
All right, 3ringradio.com. Matt Zane interview's going good, I'm sure. Can you believe this part of the interview? The tape stopped recording. So right when Matt started to talk about religion, it stopped. So I was running out of tape. Okay, I do this weird system. And it was on auto shut off when you run out of tape. it doesn't flip over automatically. So by the time I caught it, the second part here that I'm going to play is right where we started up again. It's very weird, though. The chunk you're missing is him talking bad about the ex-white zombies drummer's Buddhist beliefs. But anyway, check out 3ringradio.com. Email me if you need this further explained. 3ringradio.com. And here's the rest of the Matt Zane interview. Enjoy. And let me know what you think. Email me. 3ringradio.com if I haven't said that enough.
Framed in a context, so it's not a free-for-all nihilism. It puts it within a framework, so people can see that there's actually a reason and meaning behind the things that I do. And I found that it just rung true with me. And so, if anything, right now, I guess you could say that I'm definitely one that would likes to practice the philosophies of the left-hand path. If you know, we're going to get any specific beyond that point. I mean, I think that my study is too broad at this point in time to pinpoint it to a specific branch of the left-hand path, because as I said before, there are many different branches. I mean, there was everything from tantric Hinduism to Satanism to Setianism, the offshoot of the Church of Satan that split in 76 in the Temple of Set. There was the ambiguous nature of Crowley that had certain left-hand path tendencies. There was, a lot of different elements. So, I mean, I'm kind of like studying all of them right now before I really pinpoint one specific thing to actually say that I am this. So I keep it rather broad right now because I'm pulling from many sources.
What do you think about what's going on in pornography today with Rob Black and everything?
You know, I really don't follow pornography all that much, but I will say that.
Well, this is pop. This is culture, though. This is like headline news. This is our country. Our censorship going on with the FCC and the Clear Channel stuff with Howard Stern, and then the Rob Black stuff. It's on.
I do agree, and I usually ignore most of that. To be completely honest with you, I don't watch a lot of the news just because I find it to be rather pointless. But I mean, I do get AVN in the mail still, and every once in a while I will flip it open. And for those of you who aren't familiar with AVN, it's the adult video news magazine, which is kind of like the industry's Rolling Stone or Billboard or something along those lines. And I did read an article in AVN with Rob Black, and I didn't read the whole entire article just to get kind of an idea of what was going on. This has happened before. It's not anything that I think is, anything new. I mean, either if he loses, it's not going to be the first person to lose something along this. I mean, this is these kind of things the government has been setting up for years. It's the same thing. A lot of people don't realize it because it's never been brought to the forefront of mainstream society before. I think due to the fact that pornography in general hasn't been accepted by the masses up until the last five or six years. But I mean, he basically sold some product to people that in a place where pornography was considered indecent. And by society standards, and then that's how they busted them. I mean, but this is an old trick. I mean, they've been using this for years and years and years. That's why there's no ship zones where people won't ship pornography. I mean, I don't really know what else to say about it except for the fact that either he's just going to win or he's going to lose, and it's gonna have a big effect on it.
I don't care really what you think about Rob Black or his specific case. I guess I'm asking, what do you think about the content, anyone that's pushing the envelope, do you think that goes too far? Do you think you can ever go too far with stuff? I mean, excluding child pornography. I'm just talking about consensual shit that people are doing like that, even if it is a rape video. And I'm talking consensual, number one female fantasy rape type stuff.
Yeah. Do I ever think that anything can go too far? No, I don't necessarily believe so. I mean, that's what I think film is for. I think film is a medium for to be able to express these hidden desires or these ideas or these concepts that we necessarily can't act out within society without going to jail. I mean, I don't really think there should be an aspect of morality placed on it or issue of right and wrong or something that is maybe gone too far. I don't really think there should be these boundaries, especially within film. Or any art, for that matter. I mean, it's supposed to be a free form of expression. So, I mean, it really doesn't say anything to me. And I think it's rather foolish, anyways, because there was a movie out last year called Irreversible by a French filmmaker that had a 10-minute anal rape scene in it that was far more brutal than any of Rob Black's movies, and they were showing it here in L.A. in New York.
Right, I remember. Did you see Boys Ma Rape Me, the French movie? No, there's another. There's another movie all about rape from France. It's another art film that was way more brutal than anything Rob Black's done.
Yeah. Well, the only reason why I bring up Irreversible, I don't know about your film, but this actually had somewhat of a limited release in America in the actual theaters. This movie, Irreversible.
Yeah. So did Rape Me. Yeah.
Oh yeah. So I mean, it just you know, and nobody went to jail from that, and it wasn't that big of a deal. So I don't know. I just think that the. I just think that the government, you know, usually when there's Republicans within the office, I think it's just only because of their affiliation with the support they gain from the Christian coalition that
right.
they feel the need to go after these things and ban gay marriages and so on and so forth.
Sure, it's just a way to harvest votes.
But, you know, I mean, I personally don't think that there's ever really any limitation that should be put on artistic expression whatsoever.
And you consider pornography artistic expression?
Yeah, you know, I really do to a certain extent. I mean, because... if somebody like Rob Black actually tries to make it so, he puts effort into it. I mean, yeah, obviously there's some that are just there to, you know, do the job of getting somebody off, and then you know, that's basically all that it's there for. But nevertheless, I mean, I still think it should be protected under the First Amendment rights, because if, you know, it does more than it still entertains, regardless of which.
And that brings me to you and your band again. I'm going back and forth here. I'm wondering, have you ever had problems with censorship within your band, with, you know, with touring, anything, any kind of problems, any kind of controversy?
Yeah, we've had a lot of problems with the band, and it really depends on what year and what time and period of the band that you look at. When we were still technically a porno band in the pornos coming through pornography, we used to have 14 girls having orgies on stage with live bondage and so on and so forth. We've been banned from a few clubs. I mean, there was a time at the House of Blues where we were banned from House of Blues, you know, for a lifetime because of things that were taking place on stage during the show. You know, more recently in the band, we've had problems due to our live shows, the nature of how we're so combative with the audience in some places where we've been banned from only three clubs within the last year and a half, but still that's quite a lot to not be allowed into certain cities, you know. So, I mean, yeah, it happens here and there, but it's all part of it. I mean, when you decide that you want to do something that is so heavily opposed to the norm in terms of performance, especially within this day and age of the prepackaged consumer rock, which is just, you know, excuses to make, you know, increase your monetary accumulation and, you know, your ego, for no other apparent reason, you're gonna wind up, you know, running into these problems in these cities, especially some of these towns that are somewhat conservative. So it does happen.
So on the new record, do you have a favorite song?
The last record we released last year?
The Exit Through Fear.
Oh, Exit Through Fear. I think my favorite song on the Exit Through Fear is probably a song called Everyone Dies, Lock Stars Don't Count. It's about the fascination that groupies have with their deities, their rock stars, their rock gods, and how the level of importance that can take place from sexual interaction with these individuals. I mean, it's always been somewhat of a fascinating concept to me. It's how the backstage sluts was originally created, even though the backstage sluts was more of a lighthearted attempt to expose such a phenomenon. But nevertheless, this song was about that, and it's more specifically, it was about an ex-girlfriend that I had years ago that slept with Marilyn Manson, and based her entire life around it. It really seemed to be the focal point of all of her existence. And I asked her about the situation one time, and she said, well, I slept with this guy, with Marilyn Manson once, when I went to his concert while I was living with my boyfriend at the time. I said, well, do you think that was really fair to your boyfriend? And she said, well, to be honest with you, she goes, I would never cheat on him, but rock stars don't count. that's where the title of the song came from, right? Everyone dies, and then in parentheses, rock stars don't count. Rock stars were not supposed to be part of the social order in the sense of, you know, having to abide to the same rules you know, that in relationships. So I think that was really, the song really rings very, very clear to me, and I think the lyrics are very biting in that song. So it's one of my favorites. And it's also what we close with every night. So it definitely has a special meaning in me for the, and it gets my vote for the favorite song on the record.
That must really kill you though, seeing as, you have had some comparison to Marilyn Manson, especially over in Europe. Is that true?
Oh, some comparison. I mean, Jesus Christ. I mean, it's been never ending. I mean, it's from the very beginning on. I mean, I don't know what I'm necessarily going to have to do as a performer to be separated. I mean, I've contemplated cutting my hair numerous times because I feel the majority of it has to do with the fact that I have long black hair. But I think all the female fans would be very disappointed if I do that. I get emails daily begging for people begging me not to do it. I mean, you know, it's a difficulty, but you got to remember the song was written, you know, not about me and this girl. She didn't cheat on me to sleep with Marilyn Manson. It was a relationship previous. This was just a girl that I dated, you know, in years past. I mean, back when I was 24 or 25,
right,
more around there. But yeah, as far as the comparisons of the Manson go, it is rather frustrating, especially at this point in my career, because him and I have such a different way of approaching our artistic endeavors, and even what we've done in our careers has been very different. And I think it's a rather shame that a lot of people can't go over the fact that he used to have long black hair and I have long black hair. I mean, it's just the mere fact of what I've done and what he's done. I mean, it's just so different, and it's so unfortunate that I think people would tend to compare, you know, both of us.
But it really isn't that bad, because I don't know. I like Marilyn Manson. Do you like Marilyn Manson?
I did like him. I thought that he was, you know, I thought he was very good at what he used to do back in the Antichrist days. I don't think that he has much power left anymore. It's, well, primarily within the States. I hear that he's still very big in Europe. But I haven't really appreciated what he's done musically or socially probably in the last 5 years.
Wow.
But that's just speaking, you know, as my own personal preference.
Sure,
I used to personally think he was extremely, you know, effective and talented. But I don't really think that it's very effective anymore. But that's just me.
The only thing, when someone puts out a greatest hits record, you know, it's sort of the end.
Yeah, why? Did he put out a greatest hits record?
I've seen one. I assume he put one out, if I've seen one, but that's when I thought, man, it must be over. He's not selling records.
Well, he's not really selling any records what he used to. I mean, obviously he sells far more records than I sell, but so I really shouldn't comment and say that. But, I mean, if you compare it to the artists around these days and even his previous album sales, yeah, he's selling an all-time low within the States.
Right. Hey, Matt, you know, You talk a lot about wanting to be separated from the porno stuff. Am I right?
It's not necessarily that I have a problem being separated, or I'm trying to separate myself from it. It's just, you know, part of the battle has been being considered something other than a pornographer. It's been rather difficult. So, you know, for the time being, I've just been taking a break from a lot of the pornography, only because, you've got to admit that even the people that have made it out of pornography, let's just pick the best two examples, Ron Jeremy and Jenna Jameson, they still make it in terms of an icon that has sexual overtones. I mean, Ron Jeremy is, you know, Ron Jeremy. He's that guy in porno. Jenna Jameson is that porno girl.
Well, Ron Jeremy is just
other than just a pornographer. I mean, so I think that the separation that I've been going for and the distancing that I've done to a certain extent by lack of directing movies and putting out that type of product has been, you know, basically to try to get people to refocus and reestablish myself as something more than just a mere pornographer
but isn't
doing
that,
other things.
Isn't that hard to do when you're throwing a March 11th sex show and then on, like, Eric.com, I see a picture of you with Devin and Tabitha Stevens in a limo somewhere.
You would think that is a lot hard to do, but March 11th really isn't a sex show. I mean, if you look at the
fake orgasms, fake orgasms.
What's that?
I said fake orgasms.
Yeah, the first three events have to do with pornography, and then the next five all have to do with performance art. So, but with March 11th, though, it's more about stepping inside my brain for one day. So it does have the elements of pornography. It does have the elements of performance art. It does have the elements of poetry. It does have the elements of my musical career, all under one roof for one evening of severe debauchery and entertainment.
So what's with the picture of Devin on the website? Are you dating her? What's with that?
No, I'm not dating Devin. Actually, Devin wonders why I was the first man that ever didn't want to date her. But I never really found her that attractive, to be honest with you.
You're kidding me.
Well, I'm more of an ass guy. You know, she's a thin little thing. You know what I mean?
She's a what?
She's very thin. She's very petite. She's very small. I like asses.
Yeah, well, I hear that, brother. I've never seen Devin up close. And I never knew who she was. And then some girl has been emailing me telling me that she's Devin.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And she says she's Devin, and she tells me I can get a password to her website. I don't believe it, but, you know, I still get these emails from some crazy. She tells me, I guess I shouldn't say she's crazy. I don't know, right?
I really don't know her that well. I've only hung out with her a few times.
Yeah, well, that's cool. So, I mean, what's performance art to Matt Zane?
Well, I think, you know, any type of artistic statement that involves some type of need to perform it. So I think suspension would be considered a level of performance art because I find it to be a very artistic image, you know, a very striking image once somebody's suspending. But obviously it's just not when you do it live and you get pierced and there's a certain ritual aspect to it and an actual process that you go through, I think it becomes a performance as well.
Right. Hey, Matt, do you remember when we premiered that video in L.A.?
Yes, I do.
What did you think of that whole event? That was part of the Angry White Male tour.
That's right. That's right. I do remember that.
Well, what did you think of all that?
I think that if we had a little more time, I could have developed it a little better to really make it hit a little stronger. I mean, but that's just my perfection of me telling me that, you know, the way that I like to do things. But I like the way that it came off. I thought I had a nice vibe to it. Although, I think the most interesting point in the evening probably came from that band that played at the very end that was very entertaining, actually.
Bungworm.
Bungworm, that's right. Yeah, I like them. They gave me a T-shirt, and I wore it for some time after that.
Yeah, right on. Whether there was a guy getting pissed on and cutting up his chest and everything, that was great.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Right on. Matt, do you have any questions for me?
Any questions for you?
Yeah.
Did you steal the body for Ed Gein yet, or what?
For who? Ed Gein?
Yeah, Ed Gein, that's right, yeah.
I want to. You know, I got the stone. I got the stone, and, you know, I really would love to go back there with, like, a truck full of Mexicans and dig that fucking body up.
Yeah, I would figure. We talked about it, and I said, why not? What's you got to do this. This is when you'll gain my utmost respect is when this gets done.
All right, well, I'm working towards your utmost respect, Matt. Hey, Matt, what's one more question here? What's with the Lord? Is it Lord Nexus?
It was Lord Nexus for the last record, and the new net record is just going to strictly be the Lord.
The Lord.
That's right.
And I read something about your rebirth. Can you explain that to me?
Sure, if you'd really like to.
Yeah, I want to hear. I have a question about it. I don't understand it, so I wanted to hear. Yeah.
Are you familiar with Robert Johnson at all?
No. Although I've heard the name.
Robert Johnson was a blues player.
Oh, right on. Okay, no. Okay.
Yeah. Do you know the legend behind Robert Johnson?
Yeah, a little bit. Refresh my memory.
Robert Johnson basically was said to make a pact with the devil.
All right, at the fork in the road.
That's right.
Yeah.
And basically, in return for his soul, he'd become the best blues player that ever walked the earth. But the devil would take his soul at the age 27. But by making this pact with the devil, he further cursed all great musicians to come after him. And we can look throughout history and find people that have been 27 years old that have died at the peak of their careers. Let's think about history. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison.
Ralph Macchio.
Ralph Macchio didn't die.
Oh, okay.
He was in the movie, though, Crossroads.
He was in the movie Crossroads.
That's right. And if you remember correctly, that was about Robert Johnson, and he went to hell, and he had a battle with Satan's guitar player, who was at the time played
Steve Vai,
who would later go into David Lee Roth's band and make the best solo record by David Lee Roth.
But better than that, Steve Vai was in Frank Zappa, and his first solo album after Frank Zappa was fucking killer.
Oh, but... Flexible was a great record, I agree, and Frank Zappa was even more important than David Lee Roth's band. I do agree with that, but I will have to say that if you listen to a lot of the stuff of Flexible, a lot of it was ripped off directly from a lot of Zappa records.
You're right, yeah, absolutely, yeah. And I agree, David Lee Roth, when the Van Halen split happened, David Lee Roth had the shit, man. Billy Sheehan and fucking Steve Vai, that was the best band, better than Van Halen.
Yeah, they were great. They were a great band. That's a great record. Nevertheless, back to our story. You know, these people died at 27. So I was turning 27 on, my last day of being 27 was obviously on October 6th of 2002. And I planned my suspension on the last day of me being 27 to make it a symbolic act of death. So therefore, like, I actually died as well on as being 27, but reborn after coming down from the hooks. It was kind of like I used the video the first time I suspended as a purpose for many things, but to me, I just found it to be rather symbolic and very, very effective to perform it on the last day of me being 27 to kind of symbolize my death of my old career being primarily considered a pornographer, perhaps into my new career, and being considered a musician / performance artist.
No, oh, that's cool. That's real cool. I like that story. Wow, that's excellent. So the suspension. Do you get anything out of it spiritually? Like the this started since dirt, man. Suspension and that stuff's as old as dirt.
Yeah, Native Americans used to actually perform a ritual of suspension from the chest, where it would be a rite into manhood. I don't remember the actual tribe. I mean, I really should know a little more about it. But it's a Native American practice.
And do you get anything out of it spiritually, or is this just for shock value?
Well, you know, I wouldn't say that I did get a lot of things from it. I mean, I did tell you that I did combine it with, like, a form of a magical ritual. I mean, I guess if you had to compare it to any type of magical ritual, it would be a form of initiation magic, initiatory magic, I mean. And, you know, I did gain a foothold in my psyche to my new life from it. So, I mean, I did find it to be, in that sense, spiritual. Did I see God and want to go shave my head and walk around with a robe on after I did it? Definitely not. But you're talking to somebody that has practiced yoga for the last 9 years, who has fasted for 10 days at a time, who has abstained, who's practiced Taoist semen retention for 9 months at a time, who has stood on his head for an hour at a time, who's done yoga for five hours at a time, so on and so forth. So, I mean, you know, as far as the physical excursion that was taking place, it really wasn't that much of a pull for my body to go through something like that, because of all the other practices that I've gone through up to that point.
Right on, man. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Is there any way to get you to do some spoken word right now?
You want me to do some spoken word right now?
Right off the top of your tongue, if you can.
Well, I don't improvise spoken word all that often, but I mean, if you'd like me to read something unreleased, I guess I could do that for you.
Sure.
All right. What would you like to hear a poem about?
Well, death and hatred, Satan, sex, crime, and Satan. I guess I'd love to hear a poem about me. Actually, if I want to get honest about it, I want to hear poems about me, but maybe not from you. Maybe a girl. So,
yeah.
Whatever you think, Matt. You know, come on, just whip one up, bro. I don't mean whip one out. Wait, stop. Don't whip one out.
And I'm going to get one for you here. Hold on a second. You'll have to edit this part out. All right, let me see here. I got one here that I can read you.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, man.
All right, let's see here. It's funny that you asked, because I actually had it right in front of me, which I don't know why I did, but you see, it all worked out. All right, I'll read one for you. This one is called, let me see. You want one about Satan. I don't know if I have one with actually Satan in the title.
Well, death or hate. Hate is good. Hate, I love hate.
Yeah, you like hate.
Hate is love. Love is hate, man.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. Here's one for you. This is odd. I've never done this before, so it's kind of cool. Done like live spoken word over
the radio, internet radio, man.
Yeah, internet radio. All right, I'm trying to find it here for you. Just for 1 second. Okay, here's one for you. Ready?
Yeah.
All right. This one's called Anything. Searching, absence, confusion, enjoyment, sleep, connection, death. We don't need to speak of anything, but words are nothing but sounds. Interpretation is everything. Little teenage mall tramps don't care. They're learning how to take a finger, which will eventually lead to a fist. And the occasional hurt crotch with the question, did anything happen last night? They went from lipstick to blowjobs. Now there are so many lies. Realize that men want to believe everything in support of their dominance. A foolish lion eats her first child and grins. A soldier kills his first enemy and comes. A young girl is castrated and never heals from the wound. Severed hands and feet, caned buttocks, diseased cocks. Will you ever cheat on me, God? I'd fuck him if he'd ask. A simple deviation, no correlation. Raped prison guard beats his son. What is ecstasy, Jesus? See the dirty feet walking on the white carpet. That's all this is. Nothing can cleanse the world. We are progressive demons. We are here to annihilate.
Yeah, man. All right. That's excellent, dude.
There you go.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Matt.
No problem.
Hey, man, when are you going to get back to Chicago with the Society One?
Dude, I was there 4 times this last year. You didn't come out to one show, so how do you like that? I played the Congress Theater.
I know. I know. I know all of them. I almost came out to all of them.
I played, what's that other place? Oasis 160, like 4 times. I did a bunch of places in Chicago, man.
You know, I tried emailing your old email address a bunch because I wanted to try to get you in studio. I did.
Well, I'll be back there come the new year and a lot next year of touring, so no worries. Don't worry about it. You just call me and I'll put you on the list. Come out and check it out. The last Chicago show we did was the end of the tour. You would have loved it. We destroyed the entire stage after we were done, and then we had a big orgy out in the van.
Oh, that's awesome. You know what I'd like to do is hook you up, and you guys should come in the studio and do something live over the internet.
Yeah, we could do that. We'll do that for you.
Another earache band did that, Usurper, man. It turned out really good.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man, and... So you're not making any more pornos?
Well, I'm sure I will in the future, Shane, to be honest with you, but...
Matt, we need to work on a Church of Satan porno, bro. Official satanic porn.
You know, it's funny that you mention that, because my father, actually, previous to me being in business with him, made the first ever satanic pornos with a director named Damien Helix at the time. And I actually went back to watch it to see if it was any good, and they really weren't very good at all. But nevertheless, it's something to think about, and I would be interested in making it, but I honestly don't think we could get anybody to distribute it.
True.
Or fund it, to tell you the truth.
Well, that's the truth. Religion is on the top of the faxed out porno list, man.
It would be a great thing to put together. I'd really be interested in doing it, and I think I could do it rather well. If you could get it together, I would be interested in helping you put that together.
Hey, man, Matt, I might, you never know, I might be calling you back in the next couple of days to ask you a couple more questions. But other than that, you got anything else to say to the World Wide Web?
Basically, just check out www.society1.net, society1.net. For all the information and all the happenings of Society One and all the crazy things that we're doing, and, you know, come check us out after the summer.
They're flat evil. The evildoers are continuing to try to harm America and Americans.
The evildoers.
Hands of evildoers. There's no shadow of the world dark enough for them to kind of slither around in. There's a real threat.
There are people who want to use death. They want to murder innocent lives.
EvilNow.com, your home for hate. EvilNow.com, your home for Satan. EvilNow.com, We love to hate you.
They're flat evil. The evildoers are continuing to try to harm America and Americans.
The evildoers.
Hands of evildoers. There's no shadow of the world dark enough for them to kind of slither around in. There's a real threat. There are people who want to use death. They want to murder innocent lives.
You holy rock, God damn it, get out!
Don't hit him. Don't hit him.
Go on!
This man is drunk.
You bet your life I'm drunk. And tomorrow I'll be sober and you'll still be a goddamn face artist. Now get the fuck
sir,
out of here.
I wish you would understand
you know,
the gravity.
I wish you and your cunt had one neck so I could just get my hands around it. Just spring it. Now get up. My bad passion. In the name of the Holy Ghost.